kind of decided to kind of shift gears a little bit on what I had planned on doing. I prefer to have a little bit larger group, maybe when the weather's better, and we'll take care of that one at the appropriate time. Right now, what I thought we might really be good, I know a number of years ago that I had put an article in our bulletin based upon Daniel chapter 3. So if you'd like to turn to Daniel chapter 3, we'll get to that here in just a moment. But I remember, to the best of my recollection, let's put it that way, the title of the article was A Faith to be Admired. And when you stop and think about it, what a tremendous example we have in Daniel chapter 3. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We set the story beginning in verse 1 where it says that Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold whose height was 60 cubits and width was 6 cubits. And he set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. So he builds, he establishes this golden image. And a 60 cubit, if it's true that the cubit was approximately 18 inches, this statue would have been about 90 feet tall. And consequently would have been able to be seen from great distance. In fact, a little bit of research on the plain of Dura and where they believe that it was actually placed would have probably made it so prominent that you could have seen it literally because of its size, because of it being gold, you could have probably seen it from a mile away or better. And he sets this up, and he then goes to the people. King Nebuchadnezzar sent word to gather together the satraps, the administrators, the governors, the counselors, the treasurers, the judges, the magistrates, and all the officials of the provinces to come to the dedication. And when it says that he sent for them, it would have been a commandment that they be there. And so they come together, verse 3, in the presence of this, of the king, and the herald cried out, "To you it is commanded, O peoples, nations, and languages, that at the time that you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the harp, the lyre, the psaltery, in symphony with all kinds of music, you shall fall down and worship the gold image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. And whosoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast immediately into the midst of a burning fiery furnace." It is believed by most commentators, by people who refer to, I guess, maybe as scholars and commentators, that in reality, this gold image was the image of Nebuchadnezzar himself. And as a result, what he was telling the people to do is to bow down and worship him. By worshiping the image, they would have been worshiping him. And the consequences were dire. If you did not do this, you were going to be put to death, cast into the furnace of fire. And then we know how the story goes from there, that in fact then they did start playing the music with all these instruments in symphony, it says. And all the peoples of nations and languages fell down and worshiped the gold image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. And therefore at that time certain Chaldeans came forward and accused the Jews. Remember now, they were in Babylonian captivity. These are the two southern tribes of Israel. And they were in captivity. And they were as much commanded as anybody was. And they came to King Nebuchadnezzar and showing their great respect for him, "O king, live forever. And you've made a decree that everybody, when they hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the harp, the lyre, and the psaltery, and all this symphony of music, that they were to fall down and worship the image. However," they said, "there were certain Jews whom you've set over the affairs of the province of Babylon. Three Jews recognized as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He said, O king, have you not paid due regard to you? They have not done this. They do not serve your gods or worship the gold image which you have set up. Nebuchadnezzar, in rage and fury, gave the command to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to them. So they brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar then speaking, saying, Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the gold image which I set up? Now, if you're ready at the time, you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the harp, the lyre, and the psaltery, and symphony with all kinds of music, and you fall down and worship the image which I have made, good. But if you do not worship, you shall be cast immediately into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you from my hand? It's like Nebuchadnezzar is giving them an opportunity to change. Remember, if you will, that when they went into captivity, that they were the very ones who refused to eat the king's delicacies. It violated what the king's delicacies were, what his menu was, so to speak, violated what they were supposed to eat and not eat as Jews. And as a result of not eating that, they were then brought to him and they were better looking. Their countenance was better. And so what happens from this? They were given great positions. And it seems to be the case that Nebuchadnezzar was ready to overlook the first transgression. He says, now we're going to do this again, and we're going to play the music again, and here's your opportunity to bow down and worship, and worship the image, and worship my gods. And if you do not do this, you are in deep trouble. Burning fiery furnace you'll be cast into. And he adds this little caveat, who is the God who will deliver you from my hand? And I've always loved their response. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. The idea here is we don't have to stop and think about it. We don't have to talk about it. We're not going to get together with put our heads together and say, what are we going to do? They already knew what their response was going to be. And it was going to be based upon their faith in God. I think they really and truly did have a faith to be admired. Verse 17 says, If that is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the fiery furnace. And He will deliver us from your hand, O king. You see, the first thing that they do is they put their faith in God and they tell Nebuchadnezzar, Listen, we don't have to respond. We don't have to think about it to respond. Here's the response. If that's the case, if we're going to get cast into the fiery furnace, we're still not going to do it, and God will protect us. God will deliver us from this. And then they add to that, but if not, if God chooses not to do this, even if it is God's will that we die, we still will not bow down. We'll not worship your false gods. We will not bow down to the image that you set up. Their faith in God was so strong that their first position was, is that God will take care of us. God's going to deliver us from that. But even if He chooses not to do that, we have the kind of faith in God that says, so be it. Do we have that kind of faith today? I've always been impressed with this faith. I know that in time, like I said, I've written an article that's probably been reprinted because somebody wanted it reprinted, or maybe I just thought it was a good time to reprint it at that time. I've probably had a sermon or two based upon this general idea. But to me, this is the essence, this is the epitome of faith in God. That no matter what the outcome, we're going to be faithful to God. No matter how bad it gets, no matter what the consequences, we're going to be faithful to God. And forget what the world can do to us. You know, Jesus made a simple statement that we were not to fear men, but rather to fear Him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Matthew chapter 10. A very simple thought. Don't worry about what a man can do to us. The worst that can happen with humanity is that if they take our lives. That's the worst that can possibly happen. But Jesus says, rather than be concerned about that and fearing something like that, don't worry about that. Worry about, fear God who is able to destroy both body and soul in hell. In other words, we've got more to be concerned with than our physical lives. Fear God, reverence Him, show that sense of awe, show that sense of trembling as well, because God is not limited, let me put it that way, to simply destroying the body. Our eternal salvation hangs in the balance. And you get very much the same picture right here. If not, let it be known to you, O King, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up on that plain of Dura. We're not going to do it. And notice what it says in verse 19, depending on your translation. I think Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury. Some say rage. The idea, though, the expression on his face, his countenance changed towards Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. No longer was he concerned that he had good servants, people he had put in good places, and were able to take care of the king's business in the very best possible way, because God was on their side, by the way. He was no longer going to be concerned about that. I'll find somebody to replace him, and he's now ready to cast these three men into the fiery furnace. And he commanded certain mighty men of valor, verse 20, who were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and cast them into the burning fiery furnace. And then these men were bound in their coats and their trousers, their turbans, and other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And therefore, because the king's command was urgent and the furnace exceedingly hot, the flame of the fire killed those men who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The intensity of the heat was so great that as they approached that doorway, that opening into the furnace, it killed them. Verse 23 says, "And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And the king Nebuchadnezzar was astonished. And he rose in haste, and he spoke, saying to his counselors, 'Did we not cast three men bound into the midst of the fire?' And they answered and said to the king, 'True, O king.' And he said, 'Look, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God.'" Now, there are some interesting things here to put into this. Notice here that they were bound when they were thrown in. And here Nebuchadnezzar sees what's transpiring, and he is astonished at it, because not only does he see four, but they are loosed. And that comes into play here in just a moment. It tells you about the power of God. It tells you about the miraculous nature of what is transpiring here. "And Nebuchadnezzar went near the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spoke, 'Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out and come here.' And then the three men came out from the midst of the fire, and the satraps, the administrators, the governors, the king's counselors gathered together, and they saw these men on whose bodies the fire had no power. The hair of their head was not singed, nor were their garments affected, and the smell of fire was not on them. And yet, when they had been cast in, they were bound. It would appear to be the case that those bindings were burned, but nothing else. They were loosed and free to walk about. And Nebuchadnezzar didn't just see the three, he saw the fourth. And I believe that to be a personification of Christ. The Son of God, it says, is what it appeared to be. And look at the change. And let's tie that into the faith that we should have. In verse 28, Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel and delivered his servants who trusted in him." Simplified, who had faith in him. "And they have frustrated the king's word and yielded their bodies that they should not serve nor worship any god except their own." Now, if you look at that one simple text right there, notice what's said. Look at the change of attitude. When you go back up to verse 15, you say, Nebuchadnezzar was saying, "Who is the God who will deliver you from my hands?" By the time you get down to here, in verse 28, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego." How these men had put their faith in him, and how they had frustrated the king's word and refused to yield their bodies to worship and serve any other god but their own. That's the kind of faith. This is the kind of faith that would help turn Nebuchadnezzar's thinking around. And I'm going to suggest to you that when we exhibit the kind of faith in God that we see throughout the pages of the Bible, both Old and New Testament alike, but I guess maybe because of the length of it and the number of great stories we have in the Old Testament, how many more we have in that? Great faith on the part of people. When we exhibit that, and people see it in us, don't we think for a moment that this is going to impact somebody positively? They're going to see faith in us, and they're going to think, "You know what? That person's a Christian." And this is the kind of faith they have. Maybe if I had that kind of faith. Or maybe it's just they look at it and say, "That's something to be imitated." The kind of faith that they have. And then let's finish up in verse 29 and 30. "And therefore I make a decree that any people, nation, or language which speaks anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made an ash heap, because there is no other God who can deliver like this." I think we've seen a change of heart in Nebuchadnezzar. And I wonder, would we have seen anything remotely close to that if Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had said, "Oh, we're getting a second chance. We better bow down. We better worship the false gods. We better bow down to this image so we don't get cast into the fire." But because of their faith, they changed the thinking of a king. We may never come in contact with a king. We may never have an opportunity to exhibit the kind of faith that they did, and especially in the presence of somebody with great power and influence in a nation. But we can live our life of faith, and we can live in such a way that we bring glory and honor to our God. If there's anyone here who's never been obedient to the gospel call, Never put your Lord and Savior on in baptism. Not exhibiting the kind of faith that God calls upon us to have. The simple faith. That is to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and you're ready to do that. Why not tonight? If you need to respond, won't you come right now as we stand, as we sing this song.